I mean, it's crazy.
What?
We finish each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was gonna say. Video time.
And welcome to the first ever D-pad episode on Video Dames the Podcast. My name is Alex, and today we have a battle of pros and cons, sins and wins, and overall chaos. This is a debate on whether Frozen is a classic or if it just plain sucks. I'll be your moderator for today, and I'll be refereeing your four favorite dames. In this corner, we have a tag team of fans turned harsh critics. Team Fuck Frozen with Megan and Alyssa.
Boo, fuck Frozen.
We hate it. We don't like it.
Just kidding.
And in this corner, we have two women who loathe the Duke of Wesselton, but will pump his tires as much as they can in this episode. Here we have Team Frozen Forever, Leah and Joe.
Yeah.
That's
I'm so stoked.
I can tell this is gonna be great. For those listening at home, this is gonna be a very interesting episode because we are actually on the other side of things. So Team Fuck Frozen, gang gang, me and Megan like Frozen. And we're gonna have to battle the other side. On the other hand, Leah and Joe really don't like Frozen, so they're gonna have to pump its tires, and it's gonna be fucking chaos, guys. Stay along for the ride.
This is what true entertainment sounds like.
You're welcome.
A clusterfuck.
And also, if you guys didn't notice, our lovely moderator here, trying to hold us all together, is Alex. She introduced herself earlier, but she has worked at the Disney store. She knows her Disney. She knows her video games. So she fits perfectly in with the four of us. So we're excited to have you here, Alex. Thank you for joining us.
So today we will be touching on three different topics: music, story, and character development. Each team will have 2 minutes to pitch their argument, and the other team will have a chance to rebuttal. At the end of each argument, I will decide the winner of the category, and at the end of the show, we will have a winner.
You're going down, Forever Frozen.
Fuck you, fuck Frozen.
Fuck off.
This is the greatest movie right. Disney's ever created.
You can't tell me otherwise.
Are you guys drunk or...
Not yet. Alrighty, so we're going to go ahead and get started with the music category. Ooh. So within Frozen, there is over 24 minutes that the film has dedicated to musical sequences. Why don't you lovely ladies tell me if those 24 minutes were amazing or, well, less than? How about you, Team Fuck Frozen? I would like you to go first. I have a timer going. You have 2 minutes. Go.
Let's just talk about Frozen for a second, since we're all sitting here and that's the topic, okay?
Great idea.
Thank you. This was a brain worm. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, one of those fucking...
I think earworm.
Earworm. It was an earworm of a soundtrack. Let It Go was the syphilis of Disney music. It played in malls. It played in Disney stores. It played on the radio. And to top it all off, Demi Lovato would sing it at her concerts. It is not good.
Ooh.
If five-year-olds are singing this song, it's not a good time. And you know what else? It's not even that catchy. I want to let it go and leave it there forever. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do.
And also, what kind of snowman really thinks that he's going to survive this summer? How dare you put that kind of hope into children's minds?
You can't survive in the Antarctic, Jaden. You're going to freeze to death.
What?
That's it. Yeah. That's just Jayden. Like Jaden with two E's and...
and a Y.
An I, yeah.
A Y and an I.
All right, excellent. Well, your time is up. So, very, very straight to the point. Team Frozen Forever.
Let me just tell you, Megan, that the In Summer song that Olaf sings is the best song in the whole movie. And I will sing it to the ends of time. And it was featured on America's Got Talent. And the person that sang it won. So screw you.
Whoa.
Joanne, you're up.
Solid facts. Oh,
I was so prepared to have like a lovely debate. And we were going to like say things about the opposite side and be polite to each other. But all right. Fuck that. No, I agree. I think that even just looking at the people that were chosen to be a part of this movie. So Josh Gad, Jonathan Groff, Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel. I'm trying to be so lovely because if I'm not, I will just explode. They chose a really good cast of singers. So it's hard to be too critical of the music from a vocal perspective. They're all very talented. Some of the lyrics are questionable. We'll get into that. It's not my side, but I do think that it's very catchy, and something like In Summer, you can't help but smile and watch him be so drastically incorrect about what he thinks the future holds for him. And Kristoff's like, somebody's got to tell him. And she's like, don't you dare.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cute. But
cute.
Yeah, it's cute. For Let It Go, I hate it, but...
but you can't say that. You love it.
I love it, but I did find that the reason that I hate it is because it was played over and over and over and over again. As a song structurally, it does what it's supposed to do. It felt very musical theater-ish. Like, that would be somebody's, like, monologue song where they're actually progressing the story forward. Lyrically, I thought it was really interesting. I love when Disney movies put like a little word in there that children won't know, like fractal. It makes me really happy. That's how I learned words like cohort and stuff like that from like The Nightmare Before Christmas. It just, you throw a word in there, I'm not gonna know. It makes me happy.
Alrighty, so team Fuck Frozen, what do you have to say to those comments?
I do understand that because you heard a song so many times and someone told you that it was good and it was nominated for a Grammy and it won that Grammy, that you believe that it's good. But it's still not. And here are other reasons why the music in Frozen is so, so bad. When they say things like filler words to rhyme, like Arendelle's in deep, 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 deep snow, you just wasted five syllables that you could have used as a Grammy Award-winning composer to make something else. How about Jinx? Jinx again. Or how about the only fixer-upper fixer is a fixer-fixer-upper is a something, 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 something. For why? This is not a Disney movie for the community. This is a child's movie that you are masking in a Disney movie. To not quote my partner who I live with, the part in Fixer Upper where she says, people make bad choices if they're mad or scared or sad, sounds like a bad PBS TV show. And it does not sound like a Disney movie.
What
so,
kind of rude
case
person
closed.
Would say-
the lyrics suck in this freaking movie. I'm dropping my mic.
Well, okay. Let's be careful. Don't break your mic now.
Yeah. I can't drop it.
It's on an arm. So,
all right. And so, finally, Team Frozen Forever. What are your last comments there?
On that thought, I know we're talking about music, but you're also talking about how the music and the film appeal to a child audience, where it very clearly does not. When Kristoff says to Anna in the cart, what's his shoe size? And she says, shoe size doesn't matter. It's very clearly not just for children. They throw those little things in there here and there that are for the adult audience. And I really appreciate that they do that. But like with the topic of the music, they do still have to appeal to like to children and to like all groups. So like I personally find the troll song very catchy. Do you know why I found it very catchy? Because I wake up at 6:30 in the morning singing it in my head over and over and over again, the same exact line, and I cannot get it out for
so
the rest
he's a
of
bit
the day.
Of a
like
fixer-upper.
A really bad commercial for Mentos or something. So I will say that they've obviously done their job in making the song catchy enough for someone like myself, a 27-year-old nerd, to repeat it over and over again for the last 3 years when I wake up in the morning. Joanne, any thoughts?
Oh, okay, careful now. That's my job. Okay. That's why you brought me in here.
Man.
A lot of the lyrics are repetitive. But that does also make them catchy. So yes, I agree with Leah. I was looking lyrically at the first song in the musical, which is called Frozen Heart. And it runs kind of like a poem, and it sets up the story again in a very musical theater way, where it is very poetically talking about like fear and beauty and ice. And I think the line is like, ice is beautiful, powerful, dangerous, cold. And it just sets up the story very well. And while I was watching it, I also thought of Fuck Frozen's team member, Alyssa, in that it sets it up very similarly to This is the Tale of Sweeney Todd.
Fair.
Which is also very catchy, sets up the narrative for the story, and it's just random people who don't serve any other purpose other than to set the stage for the universe we're about to be a part of and the lore on why ice is scary and why they would be so scared of winter when, like, in Canada, this is something we're so used to.
Excellent points. Excellent points. You guys are making this really difficult for me. This is tricky, you know, both have very good points, you know, and I can tell that you are both very, very passionate about your topics. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to give this one to Team Frozen Forever, because their passion just exceeded my expectations. You know, I could really tell how much they loved the Frozen music. Alrighty, moving on to the next topic, the story. So when it comes to a story that technically took almost 70 years to be made, when Walt Disney originally dreamed of adapting Snow Queen in 1937, I'd love to know what everyone's thoughts are on the story. And, you know, whether you guys thought it was, you know, done very well, if you thought it lived up to the 70-year wait that that they did. So how about you, Team Frozen Forever? Let's go with you.
I will say, I know that the Snow Queen story is supposed to be about an evil Snow Queen, and they decided to kind of twist it around and make her a good person. And what I really, especially like the last watch through that I did of the movie, what I really noticed and what I really appreciated about what the writers did with the characters was that they both showed two characters that were like main characters wearing gloves, and the gloves are to conceal, not feel, as they say in the movie. And when Elsa finally realizes that she can be who she is, she takes off the last glove and she is herself and she becomes who she's meant to be. And she's like no longer hiding this person that she's not supposed to be. But then when you also see at the end, Hans, who also wears gloves constantly, who is this good, loving, warm character. You've never met him before. He's been in the movie for like 5 seconds. Like Anna's known him for a day. And he's like this wonderful, like love of her life character. And right as he's about to say, if only Anna, there was someone that loved you, he takes off his gloves, revealing his true nature. And I just think the writing of the story behind Elsa revealing who she really is and Hans revealing who he really is was very brilliant. and very clever and sneaky almost, because I never would have seen that coming. When I was younger and I saw this for the first time, I was like, oh God, no. But they really did an amazing job with this writing.
Is that our 2 minutes or do we get more time?
Well, I mean, there's technically 30 seconds left.
Okay,
put you in if you have anything.
Oh, okay, you're going to have to give me slightly more than 30 seconds. Yeah, to add to that, the first watch through, was very annoyed at Hans's twist. I thought it came out of nowhere and it didn't make any sense. But looking back, there was so many little signs that I wouldn't have picked up on. So like, for example, says like in the song, he's like, I've been searching my whole life to find my own place. And he gestures at the castle, not at Anna. Things like, even little pieces, like when he's going to save Elsa from getting shot by the crossbow, he like takes a second, looks up at the chandelier, is like, yeah, I'm going to hit that. And then he like tilts it upwards and then hits the chandelier. So if she died from that, it would have been like, oh no, I was trying to save her. Like there's all these little things that like mask as good acts or good deeds, but are not. And I never caught that in the first watch through.
Alrighty, well, that is it for time on Team Frozen Forever. Team Fuck Frozen, what do you got to say to all that?
One thing that is really bogus about this movie is the parenting. We have some really, I mean, Disney isn't famous for having amazing parents because they're not usually there
they're
very often.
They're usually dead.
They usually die, which they do in this movie, funnily enough. But man, we have some parents that really do not throw them a bone and give them no support. They have ripped them apart. They were best of friends. They don't think that Anna can handle this magic. And I think that's brutal, because then they grow up completely separated from each other. And when their parents do die, Anna still has not physically seen her sister since she was a young child and doesn't even remember what happened. So I find it like really uncomfortable to have her see her sister and like pretend like everything's fine now because they've opened the gates to the public. And just how imprisoned Elsa was through the whole movie. I just find that, I guess it's like good symbolism for when she does let it go.
Yep.
But that's crap that she like had to go through that. She was an imprisoned, abandoned child and forced into being afraid of being who she was because of her parents.
I think internalized acceptance into society. That's what that shit is. And also, when she had those guards running through her ice fucking castle that she built out of nothing, she didn't even build an ice wall to keep them out. She just ran away from them like an idiot,
bitch.
Just build a wall. Well,
Team Fuck Frozen, I am sorry. I can tell you're getting really, really into that topic, but I'm going to have to pause you. Because now Team Frozen Forever's turn to have their rebuttal. Where would you like to start?
So I would just like to say, we don't get a lot of time with King and Queen Frozen. So we can't judge their parenting too much. But I also like to say that I think that initially any sort of commentary that we have on like Elsa or Anna's character can be explained by their shitty parenting. So like... you're like, oh my God, Anna's like, oh, I'm going to marry this man I just met. The only other people she's gotten to interact with are her parents. So she just thinks like
daddy issues.
Marriage is, sorry?
So she's horned up.
100%, yeah.
And I said, I think she has major daddy issues.
Oh, yeah.
So both. Those both work together.
Yes.
That's true.
Guys, it's my turn.
These are real issues. No, these are real topics, Megan. No. Don't shame people.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
Oh, no.
Whose team are you on?
We trade. It's fine. So, we get a lot of flack for Anna being very, like, basic, and she wants to just fall in love, and that's her only goals and admirations. But literally the only people she spent time with are her parents, and they didn't obviously raise them very well. And it's also like a big it's a big commentary on nature versus nurture. So obviously, like, they put Elsa in a box and they were like, you figure it out by yourself, because sucks to suck. And then they obviously raised Anna with like a lot of love and guidance and care. And I'm sure they also went through like princess training to be polite in public eventually. I don't know.
Yeah. Alrighty, and finally, Team Fuck Forever. Or Fuck Frozen, sorry.
Yeah, baby.
Fuck Frozen Forever.
Where's my
Let's
song?
Let's Fuck Forever.
Alrighty, Team Fuck Frozen.
There it is. Why isn't it doing it?
There it is, yeah.
I hear it.
Alrighty, Team Fuck Frozen. Oh, final thoughts on the topic.
I just think the overall story is not one of the strongest that Disney has come up with. I think they could have done a better job when it comes to adapting such an old classic story into a 3D animated movie. I mean, they should take some tips from Pixar, just saying.
And I think that the fact that this movie that was awful to women, both in Anna's case and Elsa's case, awful to incredibly talented Broadway actors to just get them in to sing half a song, which was a waste of money, and didn't really have a lot of story or character development over time, made $1.2 billion at the box office. For why? Because they wanted to sell sisters' dresses.
Uh-huh.
One's Anna and one is Elsa, and that's it. That's all you need to know.
And they wanted to sell a snowman plushie.
And a snowman. Yep. Mm-hmm. And a little troll doll.
Oh my God.
We'll get to that later.
We'll talk about that later.
Do you own one of those, Alyssa?
I do, actually. I have...
Don't show us the picture again.
This one's my favorite.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Put it away. Put it away.
I'm going to make you that for your birthday or for Christmas. I'm going to make it out of like rock-ish foam, and I'm going to stick giant googly eyes on it for you. And then when you go to bed, you're going to see it staring at you on your window.
And I'm going to deposit it back in your home the next day, Leah.
Alrighty, perfect. Well, I have to thank both teams on those comments. I have to be honest, that's a really hard topic to choose a winner on. But overall, I think the total respect that they have towards the actors themselves and how much potential was lost. I'm going to have to give this one to Team Fuck Frozen.
Fuck yeah.
Also for their willingness to call out the parents. I feel like in a lot of Disney movies, people are so terrified to call out parents just because they died.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to give some respect there that you guys have no problems with just telling it how it is.
Mm-hmm. Just reaming out the dead.
I'm going to have to give that one to you.
The respect.
You know? Exactly.
Who cares if you're dead, bitch? You suck.
You suck.
Megan's
like... Wow, Joanne.
You suck. You're fucking dead.
Oh my God. Really? Alrighty. And now on to our final major topic of the night tonight. We're going to talk about the character development. So it is argued that the Frozen movies have some of the best character development just based off of how much time the animators and the actors spent together, you know, all the research that they were done. Now, this is what I have been told. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are as to whether or not that statement is accurate or not so much. So, Team Fuck Frozen, you're 4.
I got 5 words for you guys.
Tell us.
The rock people abducted Kristoff. She just said, I'm going to keep you. And he said, okay, mommy. And that's it. She stole a child from a big, honest group of ice workers and their tiny little reindeer that was going to do some labor for them. They must have lost a bunch of money off of that. And they also lost a family member. Could you imagine going to the park and having a squirrel just run by your little child and they say, I'm going to keep you. Not acceptable. Not acceptable at all. And then they have the audacity. Oh, please, Megan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's call out some other shitty parents, though, because no one seemed to care that Kristoff got abducted by rocks.
Right? Literal rocks.
And they also said that the only way to fix a fixer-upper is to fix them up with you. So they said, we made a terrible mistake doing a child abduction. We can't handle his shit anymore. He belongs to you now. You're welcome. They didn't give her the choice to get married. She said, what's happening? And said, you're getting married. What kind of slave child what kind of child abduction, human trafficking shit are these rocks into? Okay.
Oh my god.
This is a child's movie. That's all I gotta say.
Well, I can really, really feel your passion there.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we've talked more than enough about Anna and Elsa's crap character development. But also, I think it's really unfortunate that Disney had the opportunity and half-assed tried to put an LGBTQ character into this movie.
Because of a blowout.
Exactly. And they barely showed it off. And then, not to tag on to the second one, but then he no longer had a family in the second movie because everybody got pissed off that Disney put an LGBTQ character into it.
I'm sorry. You can't talk about the second movie.
I know.
Hold on. Hold on.
That was a rule.
Frozen Forever. It is not your floor.
Hey!
Not your floor.
Give a cue, moderator.
This is why we pay her not the big floor. Bucks.
So, yeah. Character-wise,
I would like it strike from my the record.
Character-wise, stricken. I really don't think it's fair that they, you know, just completely screwed over, what's his name? Oaken?
Yoo-hoo, Oaken.
Oaken. Yeah. Yoo-hoo. They just, like, ruined his family and did not give them the time of day.
Maybe right, the
well,
rocks?
I am going to have to stop you there, because your time is up. Your time is up.
Leah's ready.
But now it is time for Team Frozen Forever. So please, what is your rebuttal?
Okay. Joanne, I know that you have something to say about the trolls, but I will say about Oaken, if you do have the time to watch Olaf's Frozen Adventure, you do see Oaken's family. So I know that we're not discussing anything other than
Megan
Frozen 1 right now,
rules,
but they didn't eliminate so his family.
Too. Now everybody
so
gets to break the rules.
So if she's going
to
break the rules, I'm going to break the rules. All right, Joanne, go ahead.
I'll let that one slide. You both got to break the rules once, but not anymore.
Okay.
Everybody gets one.
Okay, no more rule breaking. No more rule breaking, I promise. Thank you.
Oh, gracious mother.
Joanne, over to you.
I would just like to say that as with many Disney characters, I'm pretty sure Kristoff was an orphan. I don't think he belonged to any of those men. You think that a mom would have just let her kid go ice picking with some dad and, like, not bring him home? Like, I'm pretty sure he just tagged along. He was an orphan. And then he ended up staying with this rock family because he didn't have a family. So they adopted him and they loved him as their own. And they tried well intentionally to hook him up with the first and only woman they've ever met. And I will say from a character development perspective, he's the only character that has really any development. He starts out like lonely orphan boy. He grows up without interactions with people. He starts his own business. He's an entrepreneur.
Business
owner. That's pretty good.
He starts his own business. He makes something of himself. And then he also goes from like, my business is my only priority. I have to sell ice. This is ridiculous for me. I'm very selfish to, oh my God, I need to take this woman that I obviously have feelings for down the hill so she can kiss another man and then walk away forever and be very selfless in that moment. So I think he had the most character development. Jonathan Groff is amazing, and I would have loved to see more of him. But I think that is a very good use of his character.
Alrighty, and I'm going to have to stop you there as your time is up. Alyssa, it looked like you had something to say on behalf of Team Fuck Frozen.
I do have something to say. May I ask a question to the opposing team?
Yes, I will allow it.
Thank you. It is for Joanne. May I ask you, Joanne, do you have any children of your own?
I have two fur children.
Oh, please.
I'm so sorry.
Choose
I didn't hear what you said.
You know the answer to that.
You have two fur babies?
I sure do.
Did you give birth to them?
I did not.
Did they come out of your hoo-ha?
They did not.
They did not come out of your hoo-ha, but you found them in a space where you might find a living creature, and you ended up taking them to your abode. So does that not make them part of your life?
It does.
And you feed them?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And you make sure that they don't die, correct?
That is correct. I don't know where you're correct. Going with that.
So for a group of working ice men to just forget a child that they brought on a trip does not make any more sense to me than you taking your, let's say you take your cat for a walk and you just leave them at the park because a squirrel decided that they wanted to be part of their family.
That child didn't belong to any of those men. He just Who tagged knows? Along.
You don't know that. I know that that kitty cat didn't come out of your hoo-ha. I know that for a fact.
Adopted children real are real right, children.
Leah, it sounds like Leah would like to make a comment, so I'd like to give the floor to her.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but it is in fact stated that Kristoff is an 8-year-old orphan boy with his baby reindeer Sven, who becomes his best friend. So saying that the Iceman gentlemen that leave him behind, maybe he's not with them. Maybe he just came along because he found what they were doing interesting and happened to have a baby reindeer, and he made a sled out of some piece of fucking wood that fell off a tree. And he's like, I'm going to come along and I'm going to try to do this. And so they didn't care that they left him behind.
So I'd like to point out that it is still Team Fuck Frozen's turn to make their debates. So I'm going to give you an additional 30 seconds to make any additional comments.
Thank you very much. Megan, do you have something to say?
Yeah, let's also talk about the fact that a snowman is the same from beginning to end.
Yeah.
He learns nothing. He barely learns Kristoff's name.
Yeah, but he learns Samantha's name.
That's Samantha? The same. You can't talk about
hey, no more real
Okay, I'm going into the I other don't movie. Even know again. No more of this.
Alrighty. I'm gonna stop Team Fuck Frozen. Finally, Team Frozen Forever. What are your final comments and rebuttals?
Olaf does not have a skull or bones. That's all I have to say about that.
Some pretty powerful words.
And he somehow comes up with the phrase, some people are worth melting for.
Okay.
The end. She went there, guys. She went there.
She dropped her mic.
Yeah.
She went there. Okay. So far, both teams have a mic dropped at some point. You're not making this easy for me. This one was also a hard one, and it actually comes down to a line that was said, because you both made really good points. But one point was actually made against their topic. So one person, Cough Joe...
It's always me!
Said, quote, that he was the only one that had good character development, which kind of goes against your topic. I'm gonna have to give this one to Fuck Frozen.
Oh! Where's my horn?
So unfortunately to say, it did come down to a technicality. But when you make it this difficult...
What I would like to say about that is that... In the span of one single day, you can only develop so much. So let's remember that they're all human and one snowman and a reindeer, and give them some praise.
All human and one snowman and a reindeer.
It's okay. Decision still stands.
Let's go, baby.
So with the three main topics kind of covered in depth, I just kind of want to get everyone's opinions, final opinions overall of the movie. Nothing in specific that they have to focus on, but Team Frozen Forever, what are your overall final thoughts that shows that Frozen is the Disney movie that you need to watch?
Joe's like, Leah,
I got nothing.
The music was objectively very catchy and would not leave my brain. The writing was clever and thoughtful for the story and the development of the two of the main characters. And the character development of one said ice boy, orphan, and a snowman was the best character development that Disney could have ever produced.
It's great. I love it. yeah, no, I agree. I agree with Leah. Great cast of, you know, crazy kooks, very talented people. Good, unique story, something we haven't seen before. Like you mentioned, they took a long time to produce this movie and produce it correctly. So, yeah, here we are.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Team Fuck Frozen.
All right.
It was not your turn yet to make any comments. Do not make me deduct a point.
Oh, no.
We all know the rules here.
Oh, no. There's only 2 points.
Okay, now Team Fuck Frozen, you can make your comments.
I just wanted to just very simply say that it was so catchy. It was almost like a pandemic.
Can she do that?
I think she just did.
Guys, my cider's all over my floor.
It's not too soon because it's 2021. We got the vaccine.
And to answer your question, yes, she can do that. Yep. Excuse me while I clean up
Alyssa,
my floor real quick.
Are you disappointed or do you think that was funny?
I'm disappointed.
A little bit of both?
How dare you feel such a low blow?
Well,
We all have the right to our own opinions here, you know? It is still Team Fuck Frozen's, so Team Forever Frozen, please hold your comments until it's your turn.
I'm so sorry.
You're forgiven. It's okay.
And I would like to point out, because this wasn't a part of any of the other topics, but if you really look at the entire scope of characters that are in the first movie, there is a singular black woman
in the whole movie.
And who
one is
she? Italian man. And that's about it. Where I get that it is a Norwegian country from my very little research that I've done. Yes, okay, it's Norwegian. But still, cultural diversity would be really fantastic in today's day.
Fantastic. Alrighty, Team Frozen Forever, these are your final thoughts. Convince me.
I think that Frozen hit the mark for a lot of people from an emotional standpoint, really aligning with things like Elsa's fear and anxiety of not being accepted in the real world. Megan, you mentioned that a lot of people in the LGBTQ community aligned with her story and kind of coming out and being free to kind of be who they are and metaphorically take their gloves off. So I think that it is a very good story that a lot of people can relate to and feel good about watching.
Well, you guys have done a really, really good job at all of your points. I do have a fairly clear winner here, and that is Team Fuck Frozen.
Woo!
Now, with that being said,
oh,
I do think it is also important to mention that as someone who worked at the Disney store when Frozen came out, you cannot put a price on the excitement that the children get when it comes to Frozen. Mm. So even though you made excellent points, it is not lost on the importance of that movie to the younger generation and how excited they get when that movie comes on the radio over and over and over and over again. And then they ask you to put it on again.
Oh, my God.
But having that excitement does speak towards the movie. So those are my final thoughts.
Great thoughts. I think Alex, overall, you're the winner.
Yeah, really.
I was going to say, Alex, are you Team Fuck Frozen or are you Team Frozen Forever?
I am Team Frozen Forever.
Hey!
So we get
100 points for that.
But with that being said, both had excellent points.
Thank you.
So, you know, I am not biased one way or another, but I personally did very much enjoy the movie, and I was one of those people that may or may not have had that song constantly stuck in my head, but I enjoyed having it stuck in my head.
On our next episode, we recap everything E3, and we watch it, so you guys don't have to. Come watch us live react on twitch.tv/itsagirlalyssa and discuss with us as it happens.
And if you have any questions or things you want to talk about during the live stream or at any time, you are more than welcome to write into the podcast. You can either DM us on Instagram or Twitter at HelloVideoDames or send us an email to HelloVideoDames@gmail.com.
Can't wait.
But guys, what about Frozen 2?
Oh, yeah. My God.
So good. So good. So good.